He's known as the ultimate in the sports universe. That's right, the ultimate. The man, the myth, the ego. It's the Afternoon Sports Beat with Jim Draper on 98.1 FM. WWLS, the sports animal.
Right of the circle, backs it on the wing to Joe Harris. Play up top for Durant. Shoots a three over Wiggins, and it's good for Kevin Durant. And the Nets take a 5-4 lead.
Paul George at the top. Little step back three on its way, and good. What a second half for Paul George. He's given the Clippers a 9-point lead, and he's got 27.
Welcome into the Afternoon Sports Beat, everybody. I am not Jim Traber. Jim Traber out on vacation. I'm Matt Ravis. Wish you a Merry Christmas, everybody. Mark Rogers will be along very shortly out at the Lucky Star Casino in Concho. Can't wait to get his take on a whole mess of things happening in the world of sports. Those two clips you heard off the top, the Nets winning last night, and then Paul George and the Clippers winning last night. The big lead, though, that we need to start with is this Rockets and Thunder game. The Thunder have yet again become kind of a focal point of the NBA universe when it comes to a possible game getting postponed, and yet again, not because of their own fault. In not saying that anybody who gets COVID is necessarily their fault, but because of the Rockets and them having issues with COVID. And that game is scheduled to be at 7 o'clock tonight. We will assume it happens until we hear otherwise. Again, we will hear that come down the pipeline at some point today. But here's the deal with Houston. James Harden, everybody knows what is up with him. He has had troubles, we could say, conforming to the COVID protocols of the NBA, partying maskless, whether he was at a strip club or not. He disputes it. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter because you cannot go to a bar or a party, anything like that. And James Harden was just the other night. So the NBA investigating that, he comes out and basically admits, yeah, I was there. But says it wasn't that kind of club. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So James Harden may not play tonight. Rockets players who are out tonight, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, have both been sent home due to contact tracing. Apparently this started at a player's apartment whenever they gathered to get haircuts. They were gathered Tuesday evening at a player's apartment away from the team facility getting haircuts. So John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, and Kenyon Martin Jr., which doesn't that name make you feel old, he returned positive for COVID. Needs to be tested again. So another rookie, Jay Sean Tate. That name may sound familiar because that's the one who James Harden threw a basketball at in practice. This Rockets saga is just absolutely crazy. Ben McLemore has been away from the team already for a few days with COVID. The Thunder are, per sources, has been reported by Woj and been reported by Tim Bontemps that they have not been immediately informed on the status of tonight's game. About any Rockets players, any of that. So no communication, at least as far as we know, from the league to the Thunder as of yet. So as things stand, the Oklahoma Men's Clinic Thunder forecast will begin at 5:30. Gideon Hamilton, Bobby Thompson, and again, I'm Matt Ravis on the Afternoon Sports Beat. Mark Rogers should be along very shortly. So I would say that is the story of the day in the NBA. The Rockets already a mess to start the season. Already an absolute mess. Let's go back to last night. We'll start with the Nets and the Clippers. I thought the Nets showed what they were absolutely capable of, and I don't think that's an early season overreaction. That's not a Warriors team that is, up to caliber of what we've seen in the past, but that is, that's a team that I think, at least for now, although they looked awful last night, I think that they are going to be in the hunt for the playoffs, maybe seventh or eighth seed type of team. But that Nets team, we saw their potential last night. And that's not to say that they're going to live up to that for the whole rest of the season or anything like that. The only issue I think that I foresee with the Nets, and this is a huge one, this is one that everyone is, is expecting to kind of loom over this year, is the chemistry issues. Can Kevin Durant, can Kyrie Irving coexist with the rest of their teammates? Can Steve Nash kind of marshal his forces? Can he control those egos? Last night, we saw what can happen when they're all on the same page. Kevin Durant, I thought, played a fantastic game. I had a lot of questions about him coming back from the Achilles injury. He looked really good. Kyrie looked good. Caris LeVert, that's my pick for sixth man of the year. He looked great coming off the bench. Defensively, I thought the Nets played really, really well. And I feel, although it's hard to say this, I feel a little bit bad for Steph Curry. I do, because the Warriors have surrounded him with a group of players who are, how do I say this in a nice way, low basketball IQ players, guys like Andrew Wiggins, guys like Kelly Oubre. They're very talented, and when you put them into the right situations to succeed, they will help your team. But, you know, Andrew Wiggins has a second option. Kelly Oubre has a second option. You are seeing why Klay Thompson is so important, so vital to this team. So another guy who is vital to this Warriors team is Draymond Green. He was out last night, and he certainly helps a lot with, you know, the playmaking, raising the overall basketball IQ of the team. He is he's going to be a very important piece. So the Warriors have some things to figure out. And the Nets do, too. There's no doubt about it. One game is not the entire season. And, in fact, that game was over very early on, maybe 7 or 8 minutes in. The Nets had already taken a commanding lead in that one. So they looked very impressive, obviously, 71 games to go. But I think that they showed just a little bit of what they are capable of last night. Again, though, a very long season. Switching over to the other game, Clippers-Lakers. Is that not just the most typical thing ever? I'm kicking myself for not picking this one, not betting this one, not telling people to pick this one. Clippers, I think there were 2.5-point underdogs last night. That last night was so predictable, so typical. The Lakers coasting through ring night. LeBron James coasting through ring night. And, you know, certainly looking long, whereas the Clippers, they're coming out and playing hard, first game of the season. Obviously, the Lakers are going to take their time in a short offseason as well. I mean, LeBron getting 22-5-5 last night and only playing 28 minutes. They are going to dip their toes into the water very hesitantly, and they are not going to go full bore because the ultimate goal for this team is the championship. Whereas the Clippers, they wanted to do everything they possibly could to spoil the Lakers' ring night. Paul George especially wanted to come out last night after he trashed Doc Rivers in the offseason, basically blaming his offensive scheme for for Paul George's struggles in the playoffs. So, of course, Playoff P, I guess you could call him, his nickname that he gave himself, showed up last night. 33 points, hits 5 three-pointers, 13 of 18. I thought Kawhi played pretty well last night as well, although he's very much in the same vein as LeBron. You're not going to get the best from Kawhi in game one. He's going to save that for last. So, again, the Clippers win 116 to 109. I think it's pretty amazing that the Lakers got better over the offseason. And guys like Dennis Schroeder, who was a minus 10 last night, Marc Gasol was a minus 8 in 12 minutes. You know, those guys, even a guy like Montrezl Harrell, who I thought played well last night, they will take a little bit to get integrated into the team. But with a player like LeBron James, it's going to be really difficult, barring injury, for you to blow an opportunity like this. So I'd love to see Lakers Clippers in the playoffs. I picked the Lakers as the champions of the entire league. Not going to change that pick after one game, certainly. And by the way, I had the Clippers number two. Regular season, I'm all about the Clippers. I need to see it in the postseason. Tonight, got some interesting games. Mentioned Thunder versus Rockets. We'll get our first look at Alexei Pokuševski, the Serbian rookie who Sam Presti and the Thunder traded up in the draft to go get. Excited to see what he looks like as well. Al Horford in a Thunder uniform as well. Again, I mentioned this earlier, the Rockets are going to be down a list of players, and I'm just guessing here. This is not official by any means whatsoever, but I'm just guessing that James Harden is not going to be available to play tonight due to breaking just about every single coronavirus protocol known to man. So that was some phenomenal NBA action last night. We'll have some good NBA action tonight as well. Thunder versus Rockets. Can't wait for that to get underway at 7 o'clock. Again, Gideon Hamilton, Bobby Thompson right here on your home for Thunder basketball, the sports animal, the Heat, the Magic. Excited to see what kind of form the Heat are in again after what was a fantastic bubble experience for them. This game is really fascinating to me as well. 6 o'clock Central Time, Wizards and 76ers. I've got the Wizards as a playoff team in the East. I think that Russell Westbrook does improve them. He's going to play in some space that he has truthfully never played and never got that kind of space in Oklahoma City. And even in Houston, it was such a weird, disjointed, fragmented offense that they ran there with James Harden that I wonder if, if this year will be – this year will look a lot better for Russell Westbrook. I thought he had a great season last year, but again, he's going to play in some more space, I think, than he had last year, and that should help a lot. Wizards, not a bad squad. 76ers have a lot to live up to after last season. It was totally disappointing for them, so they will want to prove something as well. The Bucks and the Celtics, my Eastern Conference teams, I think they're going to be in the finals, the Bucks and the Celtics. The Bucks, from a regular season standpoint, it's kind of the same thing as the Clippers, right? Not too worried about them from a regular season standpoint. The Bucks are going to win 80% of their games, probably. I want to see them in the playoffs, so I want to see what happens. I want to see Giannis take over. I need to see what can happen when teams take away Giannis. I want to see Chris Middleton take over the game. I want to see the impact that Drew Holiday has on that team. I think that was a definite upgrade there. And the Celtics, I actually have them coming out of the East. And I think that Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they are set to take a huge leap here this year. So that will be fascinating as well. Pelicans, Raptors, 6:30, Hawks and Bulls. Just a ton of NBA action. And then the nightcap with the Mavericks and Suns. Get to see Chris Paul in a Phoenix Sun uniform. That should be fascinating. Let's switch gears real quick. We'll talk to Royce Young here in about 10 minutes. And again, Mark Rogers should be along very shortly at the Lucky Star Casino in Concho. He will talk to Royce Young here in about 10 minutes regarding the Thunder game tonight. So we'll switch gears really quickly here to the Sooners into college football. Lincoln Riley had some, I think, some surprising news for him. Sounds like it with Trey Brown deciding that he is going to opt out. Also, some other Sooners players thinking about transferring as well. Lincoln Riley talking about the opt-out of Trey Brown and the potential of players transferring.
I think Trey's going to have a good opportunity. I think he's made himself a better player, become much better with his technique. And I think that was a big part of him, was just consistency and technique. So I do think that's improved. And, like all our guys, when they get a chance to take that next step, we're always excited for him, and Trey's no different. As far as how I handle it, next man up. I mean, that's in any year you got to do that. Especially if we hadn't learned that by this point this year, then we're in trouble. So we've played a lot of guys defensively, and we don't expect to miss a beat.
It's a crazy era in college football right now. It used to be that you could just recruit players one time. You could just recruit them, secure that commitment. As a junior in high school, as a senior in high school or whatever, and then you had them for 3 to 4 years, 4 years if everything went well for you. If they're in the NFL, obviously they're going to leave a little bit sooner. In today's college football climate, it's not enough to just recruit that one time. You have to continue to recruit your guys each and every year. And in fact, each and every practice, each and every game, because with the transfer portal, I know a lot of people are concerned that this is going to be free agency, essentially, in college athletics. I don't view it quite that way. I don't know that it's a perfect solution, but I do think it's a step in the right direction. People are totally split on that. If you're on the other side, I completely understand. But I just think, when college coaches break their commitments all the time, players should be able to as well, especially when they're not necessarily compensated, at least from a financial standpoint for what they do. But that's neither here nor there. My point is that you need to continue to recruit your players each and every day, because that is the reality in college athletics these days. Got to keep your players around. Have to keep them motivated, have to keep them bought in, because transferring, and especially right now this year with the transfer waiver granted, everybody gets an additional year. It will be interesting to see some of the fallout there. Let's hear one more time from Lincoln Riley, who made a decision on his players on what to do for Christmas.
Yeah, our guys are here right now. We'll work out for a couple of days, and then we'll get the guys home for Christmas. Made the decision to do that. Just tried to weigh everything at this point, but we just couldn't get past the fact of, our guys hadn't been home, most of them since, June or July, and quite a few even well before that. And so it was very important to us for our guys to have an opportunity to be with their families over Christmas. So they'll get a couple of days there, Christmas and Christmas Eve, and then we'll get the guys back here and get a couple good days of prep in and head to Arlington.
Yeah, not sure that anybody really knows truly what some of these guys have sacrificed. Not seeing your family, I think a lot of people out there can just imagine, put themselves in your shoes. If you hadn't seen your family being away from that long, you'd probably want to go back as well. And that does worry me from a standpoint of postponement, right? There's obviously the risk of if you go off campus. I think most people understand that you're at much higher risk of contracting COVID in things like that. But again, I think that this is probably the right thing to do. And I think that these bowl games did the right thing in allowing a little bit of wiggle room. For example, the Cotton Bowl, one of the bowls that will allow a little bit of wiggle room. If it does need to be postponed, then we can do so. I believe we have Mark Rogers. Mark, are you there?
Mr. Ravis.
Hello, Mark.
What's up, man?
Not a whole lot. Just talking about the Cotton Bowl and Lincoln sending the Sooners home for Christmas.
Very interesting. Man, I am going peak 2020, right? I mean, it is just like heading out on peak fashion. So headed out to Lucky Star Casino today, where I am, and had a flat tire.
Oh, boy.
So got it changed. Had a little help from Lieutenant Lucero from the Oklahoma Highway Patrol, who was out patrolling today, so I appreciate him. He said I was not fit to be in a NASCAR pit crew, and I told him the irony of that is that I have been in a NASCAR pit before. But anyway, we got that sucker changed. T&W Tire helping me out as well with some new tires. So it's been an interesting day heading out here to El Reno. It's a little windy, by the way, also. I don't know, driving on I-40 in a high-profile vehicle might be not so much fun today. All this stuff going on with the Thunder is pretty interesting tonight. I have no idea what, what's going on. And I thought, you know, really, we haven't had a whole lot of news or anything out of camps. Just kind of last night's two NBA games you took for granted and that all of them are going to be played tonight. So it's interesting that this one might get the kibosh put on it by some positive Rockets tests. Let's take a break. We will resituate again here at the Lucky Star Casino. It is good to be here today. They have got all kinds of things happening here in the month of December. 10 times entries tomorrow on the road to riches. Today is Men's Day. Earn 2 points. Get $10 in free play. So get out here and see us on Highway 81 at Lucky Star Casino. Royce Young will join us next at ESPN.com. He'll fill us in on the latest happenings going on in the NBA. Keep it right here on the Afternoon Sports Beat. Welcome back to the Afternoon Sports Beat. Mark Rogers in for the Ultimate. We're at Lucky Star Casino today, Highway 81 in Concho. The Ultimate wields a lot of power out here, I can tell you that. When I walked in, somebody walked over to me and said, "Sir, who's here for radio today?" And I said, "That would be me. What TV channels would you like to watch?" So the Ultimate, I guess, he has full control of the TVs here. They got a suite set up here at the bar right next to me. So it's always good to be in Concho at Lucky Star Casino. Let's welcome in Royce Young of ESPN.com. Royce, what in the world is going on with the Rockets? Mr. Ravis tells me he does not expect tonight's game to be played. What do you think?
Yeah, it's up in the air. I mean, how fitting it is for a Thunder game to be a complete toss-up when they're trying to get back and play a kind of a quote-unquote normal NBA game. It's weird with the contract tracing, what's going on. Yeah, I think it's not all that dissimilar, Mark, with what the NFL is experiencing now, what Major League Baseball went through. And look, it's unseemly for it to get off to this rocky of a start, apparently. But this is something that the league, the executives, coaches, Adam Silver's office, everybody expected these type of scenarios. Obviously, you don't really want it within opening week. You want a smooth launch. Oh, man, that was a bad pun with the Rockets and everything. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to do that. But you do want a smooth kickoff to, the NBA season, but this is what's going to happen. And, on top of it, you've got the mess with James Harden, which, from what it appears to be, isn't that none of this is necessarily connected to James Harden, but it gives the appearance that it is, and that just makes the whole thing in Houston specifically look really bad. I mean, the Rockets just, they look like they're in shambles right now with the Harden situation, with COVID protocols, with everything else.
Yeah, so I was, that's what I was wondering, is that this, if this has something to do with Harden or no. It doesn't seem like it does. This is just a separate outbreak where they've had guys that, that have it and were exposed and not necessarily exposed in the same places that, that James Harden is. I would assume that the rookies on that team aren't going to Vegas with James.
Right. that is the way it appears, you know, but I mean, look, I'll say this in the NBA, all, you know, things can be deceiving. All that appears one way is not the way it actually is. I don't know the case in this situation, but from what the reporting is right now and from things that we're hearing is that this has something to do, I believe, with some players went and got a haircut at somebody's house, it sounded like, and maybe one of the players tested positive. They were trying to confirm a test with one of the younger players. Look, you know, I do think that this is one of the reasons that the league kind of expanded rosters. You know, you're able to have 15 active players now this year. And, again, you don't want this to start out the season, but I think the protocol says you need 8 players to be able to play a game. And there's going to be situations, Mark, where I think that you're going to have teams pushing up against that 8-player minimum, where it's like, who's available to play tonight? And that's going to be somewhat of the reality at different points this year. Again, opening night, bad thing, but if the Rockets are going to have the 8 players, I think they're going to play the game. It's just a matter of, do they have the 8 players?
Woj just sent out a tweet a few minutes ago that says he thinks that they will have 8, but it will be cutting it close. I don't know what 8 will be out there. Back to the Thunder, were there any surprises on the final cuts for the roster? Did you think that were there any tough calls or close decisions?
I was surprised by Frank Jackson. I really was. And look, I think you can look at that cut a number of different ways, Mark. You know, one, Justin Jackson, Darius Miller, some of those players have heftier contracts. Frank Jackson was a partial guarantee contract, so it makes it a little cleaner on the cut in terms of that. But also for future trade considerations, Justin Jackson, Darius Miller, those guys are easier to kind of aggregate their contracts into a trade. And so maybe for those purposes, you know, but I think pretty clearly Frank Jackson's a better player. And, you know, I don't think Frank Jackson's some great player by any means, but I do think he's somebody that's a young player that can score a little bit. I thought that he'd be the type of guy that you'd see some games out of him where, like, he boosted the Thunder bench and made an impact. Now, again, within the context of what the Thunder are trying to accomplish this season, and you know, so to speak, maybe Frank Jackson was too good for his own good. And, you know, I don't want to make it sound like Frank Jackson's some great player or anything. But, you know, when he's not that big of a difference maker, he kind of fit into a number of different factors, whether it was the partial guarantee or his contract not being as tradable. You know, I think the Thunder may have just said, like, yeah, you know, who cares if he helps us win a game or two? I don't think that they're all that interested in that. And in so many ways, they're interested in the other way. Who's going to help them lose a few games? So I think that's the way that they were kind of approaching that one.
Other than the holdovers and then the draft picks, Theo and Poku, what guys have potential to develop into somebody that could be a long-term piece for Oklahoma City?
You mean like non-Bazley, non...
Yeah, right, yeah. No, I mean, guys that they're just, you know, they kind of picked up the pieces. I mean, Ty Jerome hasn't got a lot of time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he can, you know, I don't know what he can do. Kind of Hami, I guess, would be another guy.
Yeah.
You know, kind of interested to see what he does with a little bit more playing time. I really like Justin Jackson when he came out of North Carolina, but mm-hmm. hasn't been able to, you know, manifest much of that into a career. So I guess I'm asking about those guys mainly.
Yeah, I mean, Ty Jerome is the name that comes up for a lot of people, even within the organization. I think that they're kind of curious as to what he might be able to do. You know, he's not obviously some kind of great athlete, but he's savvy with the ball, can play multiple different ways, can play with a lot of different players. You know, you can use him as a pick-and-roll ball handler. You can use him as a spot-up shooter. He's heady. You know, a lot of those types of things. Sam Presti seems to kind of have an affinity for Virginia players. But, you know, I think he's kind of a guy that comes up a lot. And that is kind of the case, Mark. You know, when you look at teams that go through this process, of course you're trying to hit the home run for, you know, at the top of the lottery. You're trying to get Cade Cunningham. You're trying to get Jalen Suggs. You're trying to get whoever it is to really change the future of your franchise. But also you're trying to find these bargain contracts that can be part of that back-end building process. And, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers did it with a few different guys. Robert Covington is kind of the most infamous one. But just, you know, a castaway guy that got an opportunity that took advantage of it and, you know, one, helps your team when they do start to make that process towards rising back into a playoff contender, but also now he's an asset himself. So is Ty Jerome that guy? I don't know. But, you know, I don't know that the Thunder has really a great feel. Justin Jackson, like you said, I think is kind of an interesting player. He's bouncing around. You know, he had good moments in Sacramento, had good moments in Dallas. Is he good? I don't know. But, like, you know, I think that you're going to see some moments out of him where you think, maybe he is kind of a guy. But that's all kind of the point here is to kind of get a look at some of these dudes.
That'll be interesting. I saw that the Thunder expect a little bit more offensively out of Lu Dort. Mm-hmm. What do you think that his ceiling is this year? It was just odd last year because, I mean, it was either feast or famine with Lou offensively. That's not going to be a way that works much for the team.
Yeah, how fitting the way the playoff series went, right, Mark? I mean, like,
right.
One night we're having a conversation of, you know, should Lu Dort ever shoot again? Like, is he ever going to make a shot again to dropping 30 in a game 7 because he couldn't miss? So I think it was kind of the Lu Dort experience encapsulated quite nicely there at the end of the year. But, you know, I don't know that the Thunder are looking for Dort to, like, take more shots, but I do think that they are intrigued by him with the ball in his hands. You know, he played a lot of point guard at Arizona State. He was a pick-and-roll ball handler. And I think that that's an area that he can really develop in at the NBA level. I think we saw it at different times. I think you're going to see that with the Thunder this year. You know, SGA is going to be kind of the primary guy, no question about it. But they don't want him just, like, hammering the ball for all 40 minutes that he's out there on the court. I think that they want to stay diverse offensively. I think that they liked what they found last year with the three-point guard lineup and just having multiple guys as facilitators within the offense. And so I think Lu Dort is somebody that they see that could kind of evolve into playing, you know, that sort of hybrid point guard type of role. Because, look, I think that Dort's going to have opportunities. I think that you're going to see him take questionable shots. I think that you're going to see opposing defense are gonna close out on him a little bit more. And I think Dort's going to have some confidence to let a few more fly. But I think the Thunder are really encouraging him not to just be like, you know, the quote-unquote 3-and-D player. I think that they want him to be a diverse offensive player because I think that that's really where his true offensive skill set is be that bowling ball, head it downhill at the rim, try to get to the foul line, and, you know, when defenses collapse on you, make a good pass to somebody else. Because I think Lu Dort would be selling himself short if he just says, I'm just going to be a spot-up guy and work on that over and over and over again and just be 3-and-D. Because I think he can be a lot more than that, honestly, offensively.
All right, SGA, bubble SGA was not pre-bubble SGA. I mean, lost confidence in his outside shot. So now that Chris Paul is gone, I mean, that really kind of takes the training wheels off of him. So what do you think that he has improved in the offseason, and was that just kind of an anomaly that the shot went away, or do you think that this season he'll start back up where he left off pre-bubble?
I do think teams in the bubble – kind of were more hip to what SGA is, and I think that they game planned for him a little more than they did in the regular season. I think teams loaded up. I think that he drew the other team's best defensive player more often than he did during the regular season. So I do think some of that was a little bit real, just in the sense of I think SGA got a rude awakening of it's not that easy. You know, especially when teams are keying on you, you've got to find different ways. And I think for the Thunder, too, they saw that, like, look, SGA is an extremely talented young player. He's, you know, got all-star type potential. But, you know, there is a difference between those, like, cream-of-the-crop top-tier guys. And it takes a lot to get there. So, you know, look, I think SGA's numbers are going to go up naturally. I think he took 14.5 shots per game. You know, he's going to take somewhere in the 18 to 19 range probably this season. So thereby, he's going to average 23 points a game, maybe. I think his numbers are going to look good. But I think the areas that he really needs to tap into, Mark, is he's got to become a better creator for his teammates. He's got to lift the level of the whoever he's playing with on the floor. I think he was like 3.3 assists per game last year. And that's just a raw number that can be a little deceiving. But I think in this case, you know, SGA needs to be over 5. I think that he's somebody that if he's going to have the ball in his hands all the time, he's got to be somebody that is making – the game easier for his teammates, and he's got to be lifting teammates on the floor. That can, that's a double-edged sword when, you know, you're kicking it out to, you know, Poku, and you're kicking it out to young players that are trying to figure out their place in the league. It can be hard to get assists because, it, you know, assists are a two-way street. But I think SGA is going to take some positive steps forward this year. I think he's going to put up good numbers that are going to make people kind of like say, hey, I think that he's got something, but he needs to get the free throw line more and try to maintain some level of efficiency where everything else is going up, because that's going to be the challenge, is that he's going to have more opportunity, but can you do it and remain somewhat efficient? Because he was good at that last year. I think that's going to be a challenge for SGA.
What's going to happen with James Harden? Who's still pursuing him?
It is such a bad situation that James Harden has put himself in. And, you know, I think that he tried to kind of straighten up a little bit as training camp started. And, look, a directly comparable situation is, you know, somewhat, is Chris Paul last year in OKC. Obviously, Harden has more trade value than Chris Paul. But, you know, when you can kind of talk about, like, what a player can do to accomplish the goals and what the team can do on the other side to accommodate a player, it's like you have to help each other here. Like, you have to be somewhat unified on what you want to do. If James Harden wants to be traded, like, this type of, like, bully mentality that I'm going to force their hand to do it and damage my own trade value and reduce the leverage that my team has, that doesn't help you. I mean, that does not get the job done. And the Rockets cannot meet him in the middle to accomplish the goals that they need to. And so, like, if Harden really wants to be traded, he needs to show up in Houston. He needs to be, the franchise player that he is, and let the front office work on the back end. I mean, Sam Presti has shown the playbook of how you trade a star-level player. And there is none of this happening. It's a transparent transaction between player and front office. They work together on it. They meet in the middle, and they both try to accomplish their goals. Harden is, like, clueless to that right now. And, you know, with what he has done now, you know, going wherever he went, Tim McMahon, you know, so perfectly pointed out that Harden basically admitted that he broke COVID protocols by doing this. So he's facing a possible suspension. It's just, I think Harden gets traded eventually, just because I think that situation is too toxic for him not to be. But it's going to now take more time for it to happen than it otherwise would have.
KD looked pretty good last night in his return. Surly, you know, post game.
Yeah.
Talk to the TNT crew.
Yeah, I think we're going to see that from KD from here on out. I think he thinks that that's the way to go. You know, I don't know what kind of reflective points he came to over the year off, but, you know, I think he's further entrenched that media is bad guys. Now, Charles did kind of roast his buddy, Kyrie, just the other day, and maybe that had something to do with it, is that, you know, KD was not all that interested in talking to Chuck. But basketball speaking, look, I think there's a lot of people that were rightfully skeptical, Mark, about Kevin Durant's future coming off an Achilles injury. But I do think Durant could be the type of player that could sort of rewrite our mindset on an Achilles injury. One, he's so unbelievably unique in so many different ways. And everybody always felt like he would age gracefully in the NBA because of his unbelievable skill set and his ability to shoot and his size and all those types of things. I don't know if he's as explosive as he once was, but then again, no player is once they start hitting, you know, 31, 32, 33, 34. You lose some of that. You find other ways to maintain that superstardom that you used to. And Kevin Durant is as gifted offensively as any player in NBA history. So, like, is he as explosive with his first step? Can he get as much lift? Probably not, but that was going to be the case anyway at some point. It's those other areas that Durant is so special in. So, I mean, look, he's going to average his 25. I think the greater question is not, is Kevin Durant going to be great? It's, are the Nets as good as they looked last night? I don't know. I think it's – I hate to do that sort of question, Mark, but it's like, you know, was it the Nets being good or was it the Warriors being kind of bad? Like,
right.
I don't know if the Warriors were as bad as they looked, but I don't think the Nets were as good as they looked.
I think that's fair. That's fair. I think the Nets got a lot of talent, clearly, but the chemistry might creep up at some time. Can you imagine covering that team, man? You'd be walking around like a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I mean, you'd be sweating all the time, and they're bad dealing with guys in bad moods. That ain't any fun.
You'd have to study up on sage ceremonies and spiritualism and all that stuff. I mean, you'd have to really start digging deep as a reporter.
That might, of all professional sports franchises, that could be the worst one to cover right now. I think I'm putting the Nets at the bottom of the list. Royce, we will look forward to talking to you on a regular basis as the NBA season is now underway. Thanks for your time today, man, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good, Mark.
All right, Royce Young, ESPN.com, covering the NBA and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Thunder forecast tonight at 5:30 with Gideon Hamilton and Bobby Thompson. And then your home for Thunder basketball tonight, tip off at 7, Matt Pinto on the call. We will take a timeout here at Lucky Star Casino. Get by and see us today on Highway 81 and Concho. More of the afternoon sports beat right around the corner.
Malakilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day.
Welcome back to the afternoon sports beat. What does this song make you think of, Matt Graves?
Malakilikimaka.
That's what it makes you think of?
Oh, I thought you said, what is this song? What does it make me think of?
No. What does it make you think of? Right away, when I hear that song, I think of one thing and one thing only.
I was lucky enough to spend Christmas in Hawaii one time, so that's what it makes me think of.
Well, heck. That could change my mind pretty quick if that was the case.
Yeah. What does it make you think of?
It makes me think of the scene in Vacation with Clark Griswold at the mall, with the woman that is not half bad looking, trying to
absolutely, and he can't spit it out for the life of him.
He gets away in his mind to a better place.
Oh, that's right. I wouldn't mind being in that place either.
Yeah, that was interesting. Those movies are good. All of those.
Just watched
movies.
That the other night. Fantastic.
You know, after when you go get some distance and time. The Christmas Vacation has to be one of the great sequels of all time because the original was so hard to stand up to. They did, two other movies in there, the Vegas Vacation and the European Vacation. Those movies aren't terrible. If they come on, they're fairly entertaining. But they're nowhere in the same universe as Christmas Vacation and original Vacation. But I still think that, everybody hated those movies. Those movies aren't a Caddyshack 2 type deal. Those are still pretty, they're decent movies if they stand alone. Not terrible. The original Vacation, so many good things happened in that. That was awesome. All right, we're going to take phone calls. That's what happens on the afternoon sports beat. That's going to happen next hour. I heard an interesting discussion yesterday with Jim. Mike Tomlin spoke out on the Juju Smith-Schuster logo TikTok dancing. Juju has said, I think today, that he's going to tone that down. I do not blame the Steelers losing on anything Juju Schuster does dance-wise. He got drilled the other night on Monday Night Football. I mean, he took a lick. But dancing on the logo or no dancing on the logo, don't you think that the opponent is still going to come after him? You think that the fact that he tweeted out that pregame TikTok on the Bengals B, that made Cincinnati try to hit him any harder than they would have otherwise?
Don't think so. That's already a big-time rivalry. It didn't help, though. It didn't help.
I just don't know how much it hurts. And I don't, the Steelers have lost 3 games in a row. We see what the issues are out there on the field for them. I do, I think. I mean, they can't run the ball. They have all season long tried to get the ball out of Big Ben's hands pretty quickly. And then they've had kind of low percentage home run passing attack, throwing down the field to guys on go routes and things of that manner. So, teams have adjusted to it. I mean, teams are going to adjust in the NFL all the time to situations of how teams play.
Right.
So, I think that's a little bit of what we're seeing with Pittsburgh. And at times this year, they're not they haven't been great all season long. They've had some games where you think, well, you know, like how about the Cowboys game?
No, they weren't blowing people out. Absolutely. Here's my thing. I think that this could be a Mike Tomlin issue because, you know, Juju's attitude right there, I think that that shows you a little bit what's happening in the locker room. You have Chase Claypool tweeting out, all right, this is our T-shirt and hat game on Monday night, basically saying we're going to win this division and we're going to win this game tonight before the game even started. I don't know. And maybe that's not the message that Mike Tomlin is given, but it's a message his players are giving out.
That's interesting because he's been a very successful coach.
He really has.
There's all kinds of coaches in the NFL. There's Bill Belichick, who is not going to stand for any of that in that organization. You don't have a whole lot of guys tweeting. I don't follow a ton of NFL players to know how many of those guys are tweeting out bulletin board material before games. It does seem like that's something that has been a part of that the Steelers have been allowed to do since Tomlin is the coach there. But he's never had a losing season. Worst season he's ever had is 500. There's all kinds of different ways to do things. I don't think that because he's lenient with the players has anything to do right now with whether Pittsburgh is winning or losing. He was just as lenient with the players when they were 11-0. Now, it's not Mike Tomlin's fault that they lost Bud Dupree. It's not his fault that, you know, that they lost the linebacker from Michigan, Devin Bush. It's not those aren't his fault. I mean, those things aren't his fault. I mean, I think if the Steelers are healthy on defense, they'd be in a little bit better shape. And for whatever reason, they've got good offensive linemen. They can't run the ball. Scheme-wise, I don't know what's going on with them. Still pretty good team. And, you know, dancing on a logo in the preseason I don't think makes the Steelers a worse team. I don't think that Mike Tomlin lets kind of guys have free reign makes them a worse team. Just the same way as I think that Belichick, as hard as he is on guys, that doesn't make the Patriots a great team because he won't let people talk. What makes the Patriots great is the fact that their organization has done an unbelievable job managing the cap, making draft picks, committing to guys on defense, and then that guy named Tom Brady, he's pretty good, you know, for a long run up there. And so they've done things. They don't do things like Dallas, who's a bad organization, like sign a running back to a gazillion-dollar contract.
Right.
And then sign a receiver to a gazillion-dollar contract. Oh, and then draft another receiver in the first round. I'm all for CeeDee Lamb being in Dallas. But we see now there's plenty of other positions on the field that they could use a player. And CeeDee Lamb is, hey, he's great. So, I mean, I understand that he fell that, you know, he's a Texas kid. He's an Oklahoma Sooner. There's a lot of symmetry there for Jerry and the Cowboys for him to be a guy that sells a lot of jerseys and all those kind of things, but you just paid Amari Cooper a bunch of money and you traded a first-round pick for him. What are you doing? I don't care how friendly to the players Mike McCarthy is or how aloof he is. That's the reason why the Cowboys haven't been very good is because Jerry Jones is running the team and he hasn't run it in a very effective manner. And I think that I picked him to go to the Super Bowl. It's a terrible pick. I thought that, you know, defensively some of these guys would work out on the cheap and their offense – got plenty of players. The offensive line has disintegrated this year, some due to injury, some due to age. Thought, well, Zeke will be good this season. Amari Cooper, you have all those offensive weapons. If their defense is just quite a little bit better, Cowboys got a shot. But now, I don't know. I got serious questions about Zeke and his performance this season. Is it more than a bad year? The offensive line, are the Tyron Smith to me is old. Are those guys going to be able to come back and can they play? Zach Martin, when he comes back, they'll be better. But defensively, wow, issues everywhere. Leighton Vander Esch can't stay healthy. Secondary, they didn't do anything really to solidify that part of it. Alden Smith was a good signing on the defensive line. Thought Terry Poe didn't work out the way that I thought. So anyway, I don't know. I think the Steelers are a good enough organization. They're smart in the way that they do things. I think Mike Tomlin's a really good coach, but I think that, to me, it's not his problem or his fault that the Steelers are losing right now, and it has anything to do with social media. I'm at Lucky Star. If you have thoughts on that, you can weigh in. If you have thoughts on anything else, then please give us a call. When we return, we're going to the phones. 460-WWLS, 888-285-WWLS. Stay tuned to the Afternoon Sports Beat.
And now another hour of the Afternoon Sports Beat with Jim Traber on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal.
Welcome back to the Afternoon Sports Beat. Mark Rogers with you from the Lucky Star Casino, Highway 81 in Concho. A lot of things happening today on Wednesday. Not a typical day for us to be at the Lucky Star Casino. It is Men's Day. You earn 2 points. You get 10 bucks in free play. Drawing at 11:30 for all kinds of things going on out here at Lucky Star. So come see us today at Highway 81 in Concho. Lucky Star Casinos located all over the map in western Oklahoma. Canton, Watonga, Clinton, and Hammond. Brave, have you ever been to Hammond?
Maybe driven through? Where is Hammond?
Hammond
is a place you would drive through?
A little north. Not really. I mean, I don't know where you would be going that you would have to drive through Hammond. I mean, you could, if you're going to New Mexico, I mean, maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
Maybe.
I don't think I've ever been.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, probably not. Small place. Anyway, got a nice Lucky Star Casino there in Hammond. All right, let's get it going. Fill up the phones. 460-WWLS. 888-285-WWLS, 460-9957. We would love to talk to you. Congratulations to Zaven Collins of Tulsa. He is a finalist for the Butkus Award, and I believe he just won the Nagurski Award for the top defensive player of the year. Is that correct, Matt?
Yes. After being stiff for the Butkus Award, he does win the the award for best defensive player in college football.
I was unaware that the Butkus Award had been handed out.
Yeah, it went to the guy from Notre Dame, and his name is escaping me right now, the linebacker from Notre Dame.
Well, that's cool to win the Nagurski. He had an unbelievable year. I mean, he had some games. I mean, the East Carolina game, that was the only game in town. Everybody's watching it. He makes the interception, takes it back the other way. That was a next-level performance. He is a very good player, and I'm sure that will go very high in the NFL draft. Okay, Dwayne Haskins has lost his captain's badge for the Redskins. Tell you what, strippers are wreaking havoc on pro sports right now. James Harden clarified that he was not at a strip club, was just with girls.
Yep. Just that he was with girls.
Does that make it any better?
Not in the NBA's eyes, and not to the NBA COVID protocols.
Dwayne Haskins got fined $40,000, and they took away the C. He was at an event with strippers all not wearing a mask. I mean, I don't know. Probably could catch some.
Where are these events happening? Things. Is what I want to know. And
I was at a restaurant. It was right after the game.
Not for personal reasons. I just want to know, like, where, like, are these, like bootleg operations or what?
I don't know. He was at his girlfriend's birthday party. Do you think
his girlfriend's birthday party? Wow!
Strippers to be there. That's a little interesting. It's the second time that he has violated the COVID protocols for the team. He seems a little bit. Yeah, I mean, don't you think it's probably time that I know they took a first round pick on him, not really going to be the quarterback of the future in Washington. I would say there's been too many instances with him and leaving the field before the game was over.
He's very much like one step forward. I don't know how many steps back type of guy. Right. It seems like that's Dwayne Haskins to me.
I think they need a quarterback in Washington. They need something here pretty quickly, because if they can find any offense with the defensive front seven they have, they're going to be tough to beat. Like in that division, I think most everybody's kind of trending up a little bit from where they were at the beginning of the year. But the Redskins have legit defense. Okay, we asked for the phone calls. We got the phone calls. Who is going to lead it off?
We have nameless caller up first.
Oh, okay, I like this. This is an anonymous caller. You're on the Afternoon Sports Beat. Go ahead. It is you?
Yeah, Mark.
What's up?
Oh, not much. You were just talking about Hammond, Oklahoma. Do you remember what two brothers come out of Hammond, Oklahoma?
Oh, of course, the Minor brothers came out of Hammond, yes.
Ryan and Damon Minor.
Yeah, that's a lot of firepower.
Played against them back in high school.
Yeah, that's a lot of firepower for a small school, those two guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't fun facing him, trust me.
I believe it.
So, anyway, right.
Thanks, man.
Probably knew that.
Okay. Appreciate it.
See you.
All right, that was an easy one. That wasn't Jonesy for Johnny's caliber. Yeah, they're outside of even the Minor Brothers, very good small school basketball, especially on the girls' side, for Hammond, the Warriors and Lady Warriors. Who's next? Do we have another nameless AJ? What's up, AJ?
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, good. Hey, Winniewood, we're talking about you guys have been in Winniewood. You probably don't remember a guy because you were too young. His name was John Nelson from Winniewood. He played 4 years at OCU under Abe Lemons.
All right.
And then he got drafted by the Dallas Cowboys. Didn't play a down of football in college. And made the final cut and finally got cut when they went down to the final team. But he was a Winniewood stud.
There's been a bunch from Winniewood.
Yeah. I saw him jump over a car when I was 14 years old.
Okay, in what way did he jump over the car? I mean,
sideways. He didn't go long ways. He went sideways, jumped over the car.
What kind of car was it? That would seem impossible. I've seen videos of these guys that like jump over a moving car, which also seems crazy to me. But
this guy was a physical specialized car. I think it was a Volkswagen, but I'm not 100% sure. I mean, I'm 64 years old, so it was 50 years ago.
Now, that would go viral on social media today for sure.
Yeah, he was a specialized. I mean, you don't play 4 years of college football when the Cowboys draft you. I mean, that's how good he was out of Winniewood. Anyway, that's all I got. Have a Merry Christmas.
Okay, hey, thanks for calling, AJ. I appreciate it. There's a little clip in the Oklahoman from 1991. I guess he played at OCU in the early 70s. I think he said he made the Cowboys. Anyway, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I have to see some dude jump over a car. Sorry. Before I just believe it. Let's go to Brad. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I had a question for you. What is the tiebreaker, let's say the Steelers and the Browns win? Is it division?
Okay, Ravis, I hope you can help me on this one. I was listening to Jake and Dusty earlier today, and Jake, and again, I had a flat tire that I had to deal with, which was very problematic, or I would have been able to comprehend better. Did Jake say something about the Browns not making the playoffs at 11-5?
A very, very small chance, yes. Very small chance.
So I think the tiebreaker is record in the division. And then, I mean, but so the Steelers win the tiebreaker. They're going to have a better record in the division, even if the Browns would beat them next week. But the Browns will have a better record than the Steelers if they win two and the Steelers lose two.
Right, but if they both win this week and then the Browns win, they're both 12-4 and the Steelers win the division.
The Steelers have the better divisional record. Because the Browns beat the Browns, Steelers beat the Ravens twice, lost to the the Browns lost to the Ravens twice. So that game against Baltimore the other night was really costly for them.
Yeah, they should have kept Cyber.
I don't know what to think about that Colts Steelers game. Part of me thinks that the Steelers, as poorly as they played on Monday night, have a real bounce-back game against Indy. But Indy is also playing pretty well. I mean, if you look at the form of the two teams, it is a bargain for Indy to only be favored by 1.5. But that's – NFL works in mysterious ways sometimes, as we saw this weekend with Jets and Bengals winning.
Okay, so you want to know the scenario here?
I absolutely do. Thank you.
Okay, so this is do or die. This is to set up in Week 17 between if the Browns win this game against the Steelers, they win the division. If they lose, they are out of the playoffs. So here's what's going to happen to set up the do or die showdown.
Okay.
This week, Colts over Steelers, Browns over Jets, Dolphins over Raiders, Ravens over Giants. Colts.
Okay, those are all going to be favored to happen.
Yep, exactly. Colts, Browns, Dolphins, Ravens winning. Week 17, so the final week of the NBA or the NFL season. Colts over Jaguars, Titans over Texans, Ravens over Bengals, and Dolphins over Bills. If that all happens, the Titans, the Ravens, and the Dolphins would be 11-5, and that would be the do-or-die scenario there for the Browns.
Okay, what I think is going to happen that will preempt that is something will go wrong with the Dolphins. I don't think the Dolphins will beat the Bills. But the Bills may be, at that the point, the Bills may be locked in to their fate in Week 17. Is that a possibility? Not going to catch Kansas City. They lose the head-to-head tiebreaker for home field with them. But yet might still be guaranteed the two spot? Because all of those other things, got a shot to happen.
Can you imagine if that happened to the Browns? Jake said this earlier. It would be the Browns' thing ever, Brownsiest thing ever.
But that's the Browns and Steelers too. Like, right? It's the Steelers would be out of the playoffs if they lost. Correct.
If the Steelers lost, then they would. Let me double check.
You say do or die, winner take all. That's what that would mean to me. Yeah, and I would think that the fact that the Dolphins get to 11-5.
I believe the Steelers may still make it, but the Browns, I think it's either winning the division or being out altogether. I may be wrong on that. I believe the Steelers.
It's been an unbelievable year. I mean, if you don't make the playoffs at 11-5, that's insane.
In an expanded year, expanded playoff year.
The ultimate is telling me the Steelers are in. They've clinched.
Yeah, I don't think there's a scenario where they miss.
All right. Well, the Steelers are in. I think Steelers don't count the Steelers out against the Colts. I know they look bad the other night, but that's just life in the NFL. There's ups and downs, and some weeks you're not very good. Some weeks play great. You win games that people don't think you can. All right, 460-WWLS, 888-285-WWLS, 460-9957. You give us a call. We put you on the air. And anything that you would like to discuss, we'll get into. What did you think of the OU game last night?
Yeah, Texas Tech was trying to give that away, weren't they? They really were. That was hard to watch.
I mean, the teams that can beat the top – I don't know how many times the top five teams in the Big 12 are going to lose – in basketball this year. Kansas, West Virginia, outside of the games that they play against each other, Kansas, West Virginia, Texas Tech, Texas, and Baylor are going to be really difficult to beat. And I don't know how many opportunities you're going to have to beat those teams. Oklahoma had one last night. I said this yesterday. For OU, going up against teams that are very good defensively is an issue. And for whatever reason last night, Manic just kind of wasn't in the game. Didn't take very many shots and struggled. Gibson had a good game last night for OU, but they had so many chances right there at the rim. I mean, it was kind of inconceivable. That had been one of those games that if we were doing basketball picks, Matt, I would have probably made Texas Tech a T&W Tire Lock of the Week. They were given 2.5 in the game last night. And OU improbably got a cover late in the game.
Yeah. Took some missed free throws.
And I don't know. I mean, those putbacks, I know at the end of games you have really no idea. Your internal time clock is probably telling you, I got to rush to get this off. And you miss – the easy kind of putback. But they played well, not the result that they would have wanted. Okay, so I sent this out yesterday. We're talking about Kansas. They were barely a favorite in the game against West Virginia last night. West Virginia played well in the first half, but Kansas came back. This is crazy. So basically, I had a buddy on Twitter look up this, and I ran it by Todd Furman today, that underdog situations for Kansas at home, not since 1996 have they been an underdog at Allen Fieldhouse. That's insane that has been that much of a home court advantage. If you're going to get KU this year at the Fog, it's probably the season to do it without fans in there. Let's work in one more. Let's go to Scott. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I want to ask you a couple questions just in general about high school sports and in particular. Last night I was watching the OU with Phipps, and then afterwards Bryce Thompson played some for KU.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know OSU has the true freshman from Oklahoma City, but are there as many D1 basketball recruits coming through nowadays as there used to be? Is it about the same, or what's your opinion of that?
It seems like it's a really good run right now. I mean, you know,
I can't think of anybody this year, though. Is there anybody this year?
Oh, yeah. Yes, Alexander at Heritage Hall.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Very good player. You know, Bijan Cortez at Kingfisher's going to Oklahoma. No, there are quite a few other guys, too, that I'm not necessarily thinking right off the top of, tip of my tongue. And I'm not really haven't been that much into high school basketball, but that'll change in the next couple of months. But, yes, I think you're cranking out guys out of Oklahoma pretty good every year.
What about high school football? Is there many D1 guys nowadays as there was, say, you know, 20 years ago?
Yeah, I think so. I think probably it's about the same, really, to be honest with you. I think next couple of years are pretty good with highly rated guys. I thought that this year was a good year in Oklahoma. You've got the player Beggs that went to Texas A&M. Daniels, it's really good. You know, Ethan Downs at Weatherford, very good. Next year you have Talon Shetron at Santa Fe, and several other guys. So it's a good year for the next couple of years. I think you're going to see a lot of guys with high D1 offers. Like for Oklahoma, though, they are so good right now recruiting offensive skill because of Lincoln Riley and the reputation that he has, is that they kind of get whoever they want that's the best player in the country. And so at times they're going to not necessarily have kids in Oklahoma that otherwise would go there in a year like this to sign up. They do have a commitment from Shetron next season, so that says a lot about how good OU feels he is as a wide receiver.
Right. Well, one more quick thing is, if you were your son or whatever, an outstanding football, basketball player, would you go football just because there's so few people that make it in the NBA, whereas NFL has many teams with many spots?
I would say that it would be to me whichever sport that he liked the most. You know, I mean, the chances of you making the pros, no matter how good you are still very unlikely. And so, you know, I think you do whatever you like the most. If you can get a college scholarship out of it, get your education paid for, at that point, I think you call it good, right? I mean, anything that happens professionally. Well, the one thing about basketball is that there are way more opportunities for people to play basketball than just the NBA, whereas the NFL is basically it. If you want to play tackle football, I mean, maybe the Canadian Football League, but you can go play overseas in a number of countries and earn some money playing basketball.
That's true. All right, cool. Merry Christmas, okay. Mark. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. We are past due on a timeout. We will take a break. We are here at the Lucky Star Casino in Concho, holding it down for the ultimate today. Get by here and see us and win some cash before Christmas. A lot of fun. Floor looks great here in Concho at the Lucky Star. We will return with more of the Afternoon Sports Beat right after this. Welcome back to the Afternoon Sports Beat. Mark Rogers in for the ultimate, taking a couple of days to prepare for his birthday coming up the day after Christmas. I told you, there are so many people that I know. My dad's birthday yesterday, my son's birthday was on Sunday. Don't those people just get in gym? They get gypped on the Christmas birthday, right?
Yes. No, they do. They do. The yesterday, Jim was telling somebody to make sure that they celebrate their, I think it was their daughter's birthday, since it's right before.
You should bump the birthday back 6 months.
Half birthday? I like that idea.
Celebrate the birthday on the half birthday. You can do whatever you want to do. I mean, you can throw yourself a birthday party, right?
I know people who have birthday weeks. Nobody's stopping them from doing that.
Okay. When I see I'm having a birthday week or birthday month on social media, I cringe. I'm sorry.
I do too.
One day is enough for your birthday. I mean, you can have fun all the time. I mean, I'm not hating on that. But if you declare that it is your birthday month, I mean,
it's all about you. It's all about you, and you're telling everybody.
Yeah, I like a good birthday party, but a birthday month.
I just don't like. This is gonna sound weird. I just don't like the attention. It weirds me out. I don't like people sing me happy birthday. That is probably when I feel the most uncomfortable.
I like at the restaurant and make stand up on the table or something like that.
Humiliating. Yeah, humiliating.
Singing happy birthday, I could go without it. I agree. Not something that is good. I've had some good birthdays. I'll tell you what, some of the best birthdays. I remember one at Putt-Putt. Hell of a birthday, right? That beats any like adult birthday.
Yeah, that sure does.
Yeah, I had a birthday at McDonald's one year. That was before, that was when McDonald's first came to Ponca City. That was a big deal. Heck yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let us go to Merlin. Hello, Merlin.
To Rogers. How you doing, young man?
I'm good. Ravis told me you called in yesterday and talked about Brussels sprouts. I can't help you with Brussels sprouts, man. Those are too healthy. I don't eat those.
No, listen, because he was gonna like charcoal them or.
I was gonna roast them. He's gonna roast them.
Yeah, roasted. And then I told him because I hated Brussels sprouts when I was young. My mother said, "Chew it, and swallow it." And then
I'm with you.
And so I said, "Mama, what is this?" And see, a lot of people don't know. Brussels sprouts are little baby cabbages.
Okay, I didn't know that either.
Oh yeah, Brussels sprouts is nothing but a little cabbage that hadn't grown into being a cabbage.
So how do you fix your Brussels sprouts where you eat them now, or do you not? Are you like me?
Oh, I still eat them. I check this out. I was telling Mr. Ravens there that get a crock pot, an oval crock pot, and put roast half of them, and get the crock pot, and get you a little bit of, like, you can get 3 slices of bacon, and then you cut the bacon in half. That way it makes it look like it's more bacon. And then, I don't know if you ever heard of salt pork, but then you put the Brussels sprouts in at night on low, and I promise you, that's what I was trying to tell Mr. Ravens, that when that smell wakes you up in the middle of the night, taste them because they're so tender then. But anyway, with that said, I wanted to tell you about the art of jumping a car.
Okay, please do.
I play for the Millwood Falcons.
All right.
I'm 65 years old right now.
That's like one of the first Millwood teams.
Exactly. Leotis Robinson, I know everybody up there, and everybody knows me. So anyway, I used to make money off my friends. And I told him, I said, because Millwood Falcons, we were built on speed, nothing but speed. And so I told one of my friends, I said, I bet you $10 I can jump that car. Now, the art of jumping the car is you got your hood, you got the roof, and the trunk. Don't even try to jump over the roof of the car. You clear the hood. And but you got to have a running speed to clear the hood. And I was making money until I got tired. But anyway, I had about $30 in my pocket. And then I told him, I said, there's no one who probably can jump the whole car, like the roof, but you can clear the hood with ease.
Nice. Okay. You know what? I'm glad to know that now, but it was never going to be part of my repertoire. Merlin, I'm pretty impressed. I'm pretty impressed with your vast knowledge.
Oh, can I check this out, Mr. Rogers? I haven't had Johnny's in a long time. Could I get me a sandwich?
Can we think? Just tell me you're a first-time caller.
I'm a first-time caller.
All right. I mean, I don't know. But that's since you called yesterday. I forget. You're first time calling me, so we'll put you on hold. We'll send you to Johnny's. Thanks, Merlin. Ravis, you think we'll get in trouble?
I think it'll be fine. It's Christmas, right?
Yeah, it's Christmas. Yeah, it's Christmas. We're sending him. He's going to Johnny's. All right, let's go to Carl. What's up, Carl?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, man. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Enjoying this windy weather. About lost my hat 3 times, but, you know, it's all good. Quick question.
Yeah. Yes.
You're talking about high school kids. What's the rumor or what's the thoughts on Wisdom Combs from Carl Albert?
What are you talking about, Wisdom? Basketball player?
No, football.
I'm not familiar. I'm sorry.
Lineman from Carl Albert.
Yeah, I really – no, I don't know. Is he a junior? Class of 2020 or 21, what?
I don't think I don't know his number. All right. Well, thanks, man.
Okay. Appreciate it.
He's looks like 2021.
Okay, cool. I apologize. I need to brush up a little bit more on you saw Carl Albert play.
No, I twice. Yeah, no, that's that was an impressive front. So he was obviously a big part of that. So imagine he'd be a decent player.
I'm texting with another Millwood Falcon legend right now. Merlin, maybe that may be a code name, right?
I think so. That guy's been calling Jim apparently for a long, long time, like decades, maybe.
If you call a radio station, you're using a code name, right?
I think a lot of people do. Yeah,
I called in a few times, and I went by Fred Bird.
Anybody catch on?
Well, not this is before I worked here.
Oh, I gotcha.
Right,
thought you were saying that you were going incognito.
I don't know if I did go incognito. I'd have to do. I'd go with something else. But Merlin is an interesting name. So is Jagger. Who is next? Let's go to Jagger. What's up, Jagger?
How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. I hear you about the December birthdays. I'm the 12-12 myself, and every year when I was a kid, I get one gift at Christmas. It's like my birthday just got skipped on by, you know. the half birthdays sound pretty cool.
Right, celebrating the half birthday, or come up with some kind of creative way that you get, you know, you get taken care of both days.
Secondly, I just wanted to a little comment from Matt Ravis there. I talked to him sometime about his interpersonal communication skills, and they're off the chart, bud. Like, just the way you can the way you communicate with all the different people you talk to, athletes and different coaches and different people on the show, and like, you do show with different people all the time. So I just want to give you a big ups on that, man. And,
thank you,
Mark and Mr. Rogers too. I like listening to everybody on the sports.
Appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in, man. Thanks, Jagger. That was very nice, Matt.
Appreciate the kind words. Thank you, Jagger. I think Jagger tweets me.
You're a good communicator.
Well, thank you. I like that he thinks that. I wonder what the other people in my life think of that assessment.
Yeah,
they may not always agree. You know,
it has been alleged that I am not a good communicator in other aspects of life before too. So I can you can always aim to do better, but you know, at least the professional life, it's good to hear compliments like that. Get one more in. Let's go to Johnny. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you? I'm good.
Oh, not too bad. I was actually calling about the gentleman that wanted the Johnny's Burger. I am Johnny, but I'm Johnny, drummer of Next Halen. I don't own the restaurant.
Next Halen?
I'm going to let you guys know. Yeah, it's a Van Halen tribute band. We're from Oklahoma, but we've played all over the country.
Well, where have you played here in Oklahoma? I think I've probably seen you guys. You ever play at the Okie Tonk?
Yes. Yes, we have.
Probably have, yeah.
We rehearsed at a studio pretty close to the Okie Tonk, but we've also played at like the Whiskey A Go Go in Hollywood, California. We've played in Dallas, Corpus Christi, Texas, Newton.
You played down at Texoma?
We haven't played there. We played Chalk.
There's some imposters. Yeah, there's some people. There's some people also that play down there at the marina at Soldier Creek. Another Van Halen cover band. You guys got some competition.
Oh yeah, there's a few. Yeah, we do. There's quite a few of them. There's a lot of good ones out there.
You guys have different dudes for David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar?
We don't. We actually have. We call him Dan Halen. You probably see him on the on 9-2.
Uh-huh.
He's the guy on the commercials of Affordable Construction, but
okay.
He does a really good job doing Sammy and Dave.
And nice, man. Those are different dudes. This is probably pretty
tough. I
know,
yeah. And it's a totally different kind of guy to sing, too. A lot of people don't realize, like, the rest of us are all playing the same instruments. Meanwhile, he has a whole different character that he has to play, and he also has a different hairdo for each one of those guys.
Right.
But I was originally calling for the guy. I was going to say I'll buy his burger at Johnny's if you guys got in trouble, but they said that it's all good and they're going to get it. But I was wanting to ask you all about the playoffs with this unprecedented season that we've had. A lot of people have talked about expanding the playoffs, and I want to get your thoughts. I've thought about, you know, give the group of five their own playoff. But when it comes to the Power Five, wouldn't it make sense to just make all the conference championships where you've got your two best teams? Having a 7-5 or 7-4 team playing a 12-0 team or you know, 12-1 team, make it where you've got your two best, just like the Big 12 does, where you've got the absolute best. So you essentially got the 10 best teams, except for, like, of course, the SEC may have three of the best teams that year or whatever.
Well, how do you take away divisions? I mean, like, so say in a team, in a conference that's got 14 teams, which is the Big Ten and the ACC, you can't play everybody. I mean, in the Big 12, the championship game to me loses a little luster because it's a rematch. Every year, you played everyone. Now, it could be a rematch in other leagues as well, but if you just say, take the two best records, that may be an imbalanced schedule. I don't know. It's not fair. I think as long as, you know, the conference is one thing I think that has been good about the 2020 COVID season is there were more conference games. Like, the SEC played a bunch more conference games than they normally do. Matter of fact, they played all conference games. But they could get rid of one of their non-con games and play nine conference games. Nobody died this year in the ACC. They had a team almost get in Texas A&M. They almost had two teams get in a year where they played only conference games. So I think that get rid of the guarantee game. Mack Brown said that too. Mack Brown was really preaching the gospel for me when it comes to a college football playoff with his comments following their game. I think he made a lot of sense. A lot of things he had to say were right on the money about the group of five can have their own playoff, and conference champions should be in because I think that it protects the legitimacy of the season, and it keeps everybody invested. You know, you're not out of the playoff if you lose the second game in September. You got a chance to go in as a conference champion, and that will suit a team that plays best over the course of the entire year that may have started slow in a case of like Oklahoma this season, which, you know, I don't know. We'll see. OU, to me, I think this year everybody's playing for second. Clemson might sneak up on Alabama, but that's about the only possible way. Hey, man, hey, thanks for the call, Johnny. Appreciate your generosity offering to buy a burger. We got to get out of here because we're late for a break, man. Take care. Have a Merry Christmas. We will talk again soon. We'll take a quick break here from the Lucky Star Casino in Concho, Highway 81 on top of the hill. Beautiful scenery out here. So come in and see us today and win some cash. Pre-Christmas, more of the Afternoon Sports Beat coming back at you after this. Welcome back to the Afternoon Sports Beat. Mark Rogers in for the Ultimate. I'm at Lucky Star Casino. Jackpots happening right now. 10 times entries on Thursdays for the Road to Ridges. That's a bunch of entries, Matt. 10 times. It's Men's Day today. You can earn 2 points and get $10 in free play starting at 10 a.m., lasting until 11 p.m. Happy hour hot seats. $250 in free play every 30 minutes from 5 to 7. That's impressive as well.
That's a lot of spins. It's a lot of spins.
Yeah, it is. Get out here and take part in the winning at Lucky Star in Concho, Highway 81. Let us talk to Daniel. Hello, Daniel.
Is it me?
It's you.
Okay, man. Okay, so here we go. So the Colts are a 1.5 favorite in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Do you agree with that spread?
Yes. You're going to tell me that you think the Colts should be a bigger favorite.
I mean, I really think – do you really think the Steelers are going to lose four in a row?
It's possible. I mean, I can see both sides of this. I mean, I think that you have to
– I like the Colts. I like the Colts, Mark. I like the Colts here.
Well, there's a recency bias aspect of this. I mean, the Steelers have 11 wins. I mean, they have been a little poor the last few weeks. They don't run it very well. I think Indy's really good. But Indy's lost some games this year on the road that you wouldn't expect them to. They did lose to Jacksonville in the opening week of the season.
Right. So, okay, one more question, Mark, before I go. What do you think about what is your take on the whole Ben has to go in Pittsburgh?
You want to get rid of Big Ben?
Well, I've been hearing it. Today, Doug Gottlieb was talking about Ben has to go. Like, I don't...
Really?
I don't know who they're going to go with. I mean, I don't like the Sam Darnold talk. I mean, I don't like that. I don't like that.
At some point in time, Ben will exit. I mean, I think that
he's been
into
around
the season
for a long time.
He came into the season in excellent shape, I thought, and maybe he's bogging down a little bit. But here's a great example of this. We talked about it yesterday. Yeah. Look at Big Ben and look at Baker. Same division, two quarterbacks. One excelled at the beginning of the year, and one is excelling now, and vice versa. Right. The others were in slumps, and the biggest difference is that the running game. Cleveland has a dynamic rushing attack. They got two really good backs. I think Chubb is one of the better backs in the NFL, and they're working off play action, and Baker's throwing to guys that are more wide open. And Big Ben has no running attack, and he's got to get the ball out right away. And so this is not a Roethlisberger issue to me. It's the fact that the Steelers have had injuries on defense. They're not the same, and they can't block anyone.
Right.
Probably to tell you the truth is while it was a great story, James Conner, he's not an elite NFL runner. He's an average NFL runner. So, yeah, I'd say Big Ben to me. I would think that he could be the quarterback next season. I'm sure the Steelers would, as good as that organization has been, they're going to be able to find a free agent to come play there they'll be okay at the quarterback spot at some time.
You take the Colts minus 1.5?
It's a great question. I don't like the game because for the same reason I think that we just talked. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to think of Pittsburgh.
I don't know
either.
It's
kind of a do or die game.
I brought it up.
I'll look around and see some of the games that I like. I think that, to me, with the fact that the Steelers are on the horizon in Cleveland, there's a lot of look-ahead potential for the Browns. I think the Jets might be a decent play. And Matt mentioned this yesterday.
Okay.
If Quinnen Williams didn't finish the game against the Rams, if he's out there, if he's not out there, that makes a little bit of a difference in how the Jets are going to play defensively. So, thanks for the call.
I think this is just a little bit ago. They just put him on IR. Just kind of sad. He's been a monster.
That affects a little bit how I would feel about taking the Jets. I haven't even looked at the numbers this week. Have you looked at the numbers?
Not really. We're not making picks this week, so I haven't really.
There's nothing in front of us but opportunity.
That's right. The one I've looked at, I've tried
to make some picks. We're gonna make them right now.
Tried to find the first half line for the Sooners and Gators. I think there's some value there.
You ever feel like a degenerate when you're playing the first half line?
Yes. Yes, for even thinking about it, sure.
No, I mean, just in the old days when you had to call the bookie, you know what I mean? If you're calling them up and going, give me the halftime numbers, that's not an ideal situation to be in.
All right, right. I think that's how you need to play the Sooners with multiple weeks to prepare.
They're really good at scripting. The first couple of drives, the first 20 plays of the game, Lincoln Riley, he can draw them up. All right, I'm going to take a look at and peruse some of the numbers in the National Football League. There's also bowl games this week to pick. Dolphins-Raiders. That could be a little bit of a home dog potential there for the Raiders if they have a healthier defense, right? COVID guys back. Furl didn't play. Safety didn't play out of Mississippi State. That's been really good. And so that one might be interesting there. The Browns drop from an opening line of 11 to 9.5. But like I said, without a key member of the Jets defense, I don't know what I'm into there. Are the Texans good enough to give 8.5 to anyone in the NFL?
You
picked the Texans last week.
Yeah, and they covered the 7.5 over the Colts. They tried to give that one away. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Over the Bengals, I wouldn't bet that game. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I would bet that game.
Chiefs 10.5 over the Falcons.
There might be some value there. Double digits is crazy, but there might be some value there.
Okay, I think I like the other side of that. I think that there's a little letdown potential for the Chiefs because they just came off of that big win in New Orleans and Atlanta. Atlanta can throw the football enough that they may not be out of that. I don't know. Who knows? Washington football team only giving 2.5 against the Panthers. Seahawks minus 1.5 against the Rams. I got the Rams in that, bouncing back. I think that's a great time to bet the Rams.
after losing to the Jets last week. And Seattle, they can't block anybody. I'm playing in a fantasy football playoff matchup this weekend, and I am benching Russell Wilson. Should have benched him last week, but I'm benching him this week.
It's crazy. Their defense is rounding into form now.
Defense is playing great, but the offense, they're not giving him time to throw. So, anyway, that's something you got to think about if you can find if you can pick up Jalen Hurts, start him against the Cowboys. I think that there's some potential for a big point output there. All right, we got to take a timeout. We will be back here at Lucky Star Casino Thunder. Forecast is coming up at 5:30, just an hour and a half away. Oklahoma City and Houston still on, even though the Rockets may have only 8 players suited up tonight. The Thunder get off to perhaps a good start this season in Houston. So we will have that. Gideon and Bobby will join us a little bit later on. So keep it locked in right here on the Afternoon Sports Beat.